Okay, let's just start with a little bit of background information. Could you state your full name?
My name is Christine McGilvray.
Okay, and your date and place of birth?
My date and place of birth? I was born on December the 21st, 1936, in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Halifax. Could you describe your educational background?
Yes, I attended the Convent of the Sacred Heart, and from the convent I went to St. Evache University and Mount St. Bernard College. I started off with a degree program in arts, and from there I switched to secretarial and received my diploma from Mount St. Bernard College in 1958.
Yeah. Okay, so how long have you been associated with St. Mary's?
Do you really want to know that? Here we go. 25 years this year.
25 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you first came to the university, what was your position?
I was secretary to the university librarian. Mm-hmm. Can they hear me on this thing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Secretary of the University Librarian.
Yeah.
And where was the library?
The library was over where the Burke Education Center is now.
Mm-hmm. So who was the librarian?
The librarian at the time was Father Gibson Helm. And Father Helm was on leave that year. And as a result, they had an acting university librarian. And her name was Marjorie Kelly. And so I worked for her for almost a year while Father Hallam did a master in library science. And then Father Hallam came back. No, before Father Hallam came back, I think in the 15 months that he was off, I had like five bosses.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. There was Marjorie Kelly. Joan Brown was an acting university librarian in between Marjorie Kelly and Father Helm. And then Father Helm came back, and he stayed for about a year, I think. I might be wrong on that. I could look it up for you. And what happened to him? He was then transferred to Willowdale. And eventually he took ill and died of a heart attack, I believe. After Father Helm, a Mr. Dysinger arrived, but he was only here for a few months. He was an American, and he came up here to work, but he didn't last very long. And I think it was after that then that Joan Brown, who was the administrative assistant at the time, became the acting librarian until they found a librarian. And it was after her they found Ruth Hafter. And Ruth was here, let me check my notes, I might know when she started.
In the early 70s sometime?
Probably sometime in the early 70s. I think we'll share a position. See if there's something here. Should have been more prepared for you.
It's all right.
Who's that? If I can find out who memos are from, then I know when they... Who was here when? You're going to have a long lapse in the tape here.
It's all right, I've got plenty of tape. I can just make a note.
And we'll look that up for you, and I'm sure somebody knows when Ruth came here, probably in the ADP's office. Anyway, Ruth was here, and she was the one that was responsible for the building of this library, the library we're in now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and
how long was she librarian?
That's what I'm trying to think. I can't think of my name. There's something signed by her. She was here in 1970, so that's a start.
Yeah.
She was here in 1970, and she left before this building officially opened. So, and I think this building officially opened in 76. But all that information.
That's okay, we can find it.
Okay. And so when Ruth was here in until then, and after Ruth left to go to California, to UCLA at Berkeley, she, as director of libraries, I might add, then Ron Lewis arrived, and Ron has been here since Ruth left, and is still here.
Okay. What were the library facilities like in those early years?
They were much smaller than this, believe me. There was only one floor of stacks. There was photocopying available. Security was done by the commissioners. We probably had half the number of staff that we have today. What else can I tell you? We had the print shop was down in the basement of the old library.
Mm-hmm.
We used to call it the dungeon. And down there we had all the Dewey books. All the Dewey books were kept down in the basement, and all the LC books were kept upstairs.
Let's see. So how did things change over the years?
How did things change over the years? Oh, Kelly, that's some good questions.
Just start, for instance, with personnel and then talk about resources.
Well, as far as personnel is concerned, when I first came here, we didn't have a head of technical services and a head of public services, as we do now. We just had a head librarian and an administrative assistant. And then a head of public services and head of technical services positions started, I think probably with Ruth Hafter. Okay. And those positions were held, head of public services with Barbara Dacey and head of technical services with Lloyd Melanson. And so that was the beginning of the divide in the library. Then, after that, we also had at that time a systems development librarian, Hugh Bernstead. And then,
what did that entail?
That entailed developing new ideas within the library. Like, it was before the age of computers. So he was, working closely with Mike Tingley at that time concerning computers. And then also they did IDs. Library took over the ID system and this kind of thing, those kind of things.
That's it.
I don't know what everybody did, okay? Mm-hmm. But I know what I did.
Yeah.
Or I did.
Okay, how about the resources of the university library itself? How did they change?
Like?
The books, the services offered.
Oh, do you have a month? Oh, how can I answer that question?
Just the large changes that stand out in your mind.
Resources change. Well, I guess most things change with budget changes, don't they? And growth in technology, and moving on. I mean, the age of the computer. It's kind of a hard question for me to answer. Ron could probably answer that better for you. I mean, we have far more resources now with computers than we had when I first came here. You know, word processing, email, this kind of stuff. There was none of that. Carbon paper. CD-ROMs.
Novanet.
You know, I mean, all those are all new systems that are just taking off. And I think are really positive steps that have been made. Whereas before, everything was by hand with, you know, the old pencil method.
Yeah.
Everything was done. Mind you, sometimes I still prefer that. Or your head. Whichever works better.
Okay. So, as I was mentioning before, time that you came was just previous to the time where women became full-fledged members of the
community. Right. I think there were a couple of women probably in evening courses and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then shortly after I came, which would probably be, say, around 1970, the university became co-educational.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, wow, did we get an influx from Mount St. Vincent. The girls were coming down to the boys' college. And that made a big change.
Did it?
Yeah, it did. There were, I would guess that the enrollment probably increased quite a bit at that time. But that would be Elizabeth Chard's department.
Oh, yeah, your perceptions count too.
So. Yeah, thanks.
So, what do you feel that females, did they change the nature of the university campus?
Hope so. Oh, sure. I mean, the whole, you know, it was the age of the sit-ins, too. And I mean, there was a totally different atmosphere because I think there were a lot of Jesuits around. It was still a Jesuit college at that time. There were a lot of student protests and sitting in the admin area, but then the administration being so nice to them would come out and serve them coffee. It was just that 60s attitude. And then having the girls come down, I think, really added a whole new life to the university.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't just an old boys' school. It wasn't just the guys hanging around here and doing their studying and the girls going to the Mount. And, you know, boys, I think, started going to the Mount and girls started to come to St. Mary's. And make a difference.
Mm-hmm. What effects do you think when the Jesuits stopped the administration of the university? What effects do you think that had?
I think that was kind of sad myself. Having grown up in Halifax and knowing the Jesuit College, and really it was now that people aren't entering the priesthood as they did in those days, I think that, you know, in that respect, it's probably good that we'd have nobody to run the university. But it was a very homey atmosphere and a very comfortable atmosphere. That's still there because we are a smaller university. But it's not the same as when they were there because, you know, it can't be. Things have to change. And I think with the so many ins and outs here,
yeah,
I'm trying to think back. When the Jesuits were here, you know, like if it were a fine day, okay, or something like that,
mm-hmm.
somebody would call and say, "Oh, why don't we just take the afternoon off or something like that?" And because it was such a small family, that it wasn't as businesslike as perhaps it is today. Okay? Now it's more business. And we didn't have any unions. And that has certainly made a difference, too.
What difference did that make?
Well, I think when we have the unions in things that we tend to, watch that rules are abided by and that we abide by rules, and, whereas before we may have been able to be a little more flexible, in a smaller,
Let's see. Have you noticed any changes in the nature of the student populations in terms of gender or age or ethnic origin?
I don't deal with the students that much. I used to when I was on IDs. But yes, I think I have. I think that I noticed more older people attending and coming into the library, so that people who seem to be going back to university more than just the young people coming. And as far as, and of course there are more women around than there were, and more women are becoming more educated. Well, we now have Kim Campbell, what can I say? And Audrey McLaughlin. So, things like this are certainly taking place, and you see it here.
How about ethnic origin?
I think that over the years there are a lot more Chinese students here. And yes, I would say, that has increased also, and probably all ethnic origins. Well, we do have a China program, so of course we're going to have a lot of students from China.
What do you think that students wish to gain from their experiences here at St. Mary's? Do you think that's changed over since the 60s?
I don't think so. No. I think they still have the same... I think everybody who goes to university is hoping to get a job and a better education. And well, first of all, the better education so that they can get a job. And I think that was always the case, that whenever you went to university, you want to get out and get a good job. And you need an education to do that. And it's getting more and more so, because more and more, I couldn't believe the graduating class of this year. I mean, it's just fantastic, the number of people who are university educated. And then still the jobs aren't there. That's the sad part.
So what effects do you think that big increase in size have had on the nature of St. Mary's? Like you said,
Well, I don't think that people are able to get the attention that you would get in a smaller university. The individual attention, I don't think it can possibly be there. I mean, how, when you have thousands of students and not a large increase in staff and larger classes, I hear, I mean, how you can't get the attention that you would get when it was a smaller university. When it was a smaller university, you really got an excellent education. And that sounds like we don't get an excellent education now, but you don't get the individual attention, is what I mean. That I don't imagine you do, that you would get, like when it was smaller. I mean, everybody knew everybody else's name. The professor would know your name, and I'm not saying they don't now, but I'm being very cautious here. But, and people, you'd see somebody on campus, you would know almost everybody who was here by name. Well, I can walk across the campus now, and there are lots of people I don't know. And I'm sure there are lots of people who don't know me after 25 years. But there are so many changes and so many people and so much larger. Whereas before, everybody knew everybody else.
Yeah. What differences have you noticed? You mentioned that the staff hasn't grown as much.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed any difference in the way the staff interacts over the years? Or?
I can only speak for the library, and I'd say yes, I have.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the I think perhaps as you grow, there are little cliques in each department, and this is what happens in the library too. So that before, when we were in the other building and we were all one group, we all went to the same staff lounge, we all mixed together. Well, now it seems to be more like the professional librarians go to the faculty lounge, and the library assistants hang out together, and the clerks hang out together, and there's not quite the same as it was when we were a smaller group. That answer your question?
Sure.
Some of them?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Are there any other things you'd like to add and change?
There's probably a whole lot of things I'd like to add and change, but I'd have to, as I told you, I had you written down for a couple of days, and this is done without any preparation. If I had given it a little more thought, but as far as, you know, the changes that have gone through the years, I'd be glad to think it out more clearly for you and write something up, perhaps, or, you know, or talk to you again sometime. Sometimes I find when you're talking to other people who have been here and you're in a group discussion, things come back more readily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like other people that have been here for some time, say, you know, Kevin Cleary, Elizabeth Chard, people like that that, you know what's been going on. When you get talking to other people, it brings back the memories and the things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas just sitting here like this, trying, think of all those things in all those days. I mean, if I got into the swing of it, I'd remember much more.
Okay. Just...
No.
No, not great. What's
What's that?